Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to
Heart. That's where you at. It is Heart to Heart. I'm Sibongile Mofokeng with you up until 3 o'clock. Hello to you, family. And those were awesome sounds coming there from BB Wynette. It all comes down to love. And yes, when you love your neighbor like you love yourself, then you will pray for your neighbor, right? But do remember to also pray for your enemies, which is very important. Do not only pray for those that you love, but also pray for your enemies, those who persecute you, bless them. But yeah, we gave you those sounds, and we're just saying it all comes down to love. When we love our nation, when we love South Africa, we will pray for South Africa. I see you, Philip Masango. Philip Masango is reminding us of the scripture that says in the last days people will be lovers of themselves. Yay. Uh-huh. And but he is so delighted by the initiative of calling the nation together to pray together at the FNB Stadium. But now we are joined by my queen, Mama Dr. Pearl Kupe, and I'm so excited to be talking to her this afternoon. My queen again, my queen, how are you, Ma? Dr. Pearl? Oh, it's me again. Sorry, Ma. Sorry. It's not on your side. Now I can hear you. I forgot to open the your mic this side. I'm so sorry for that. How are you, my queen? Ma, we can hear you now. How are you?
Okay. Yes. No. I'm great. I'm wonderful. Thank you. And a great afternoon to all the Radio Pulpit listeners.
Yes. Yeah. It's
and,
always
blessed New Year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember now that the last time I organized the show and I wasn't with you, but you were with Luke. Happy New Year to you, Ma.
Happy New Year to everybody. This is our last day that we can say Happy New Year to everybody.
Really? Yeah.
But from tomorrow, No more Happy New Year from tomorrow.
Yeah.
Just walking the year. Yeah.
So, Ma, there has been a suggestion that was made by the MEC of Gauteng that our girls in Gauteng should be inserted with a contraceptive implant to help curb teenage pregnancies. And we have seen an escalation in these. And I remember you and I spoke about it in December, I think, when we were talking about what could be our role as Christians. So there's one mother, because I put it up on my socials as well, and I've seen Ma also put it up as well. One of the mothers was saying, then what are we saying to the other counterparts? Are we saying rape can be okay? Because then everybody will know that, no, those girls are safe. I can just do as I please. And she was more concerned about rape where the children are concerned, because no, they're protected. And I never thought of it that way. And another one, one of our queens, Nomsamo Japilu, says, from a Christian point of view, my input can only be based on what the Bible says about young people and sexual intercourse. The act is reserved for marriage and nothing more. And she says, this is meant to protect our memories, as the late Dr. Miles Monroe puts it. When we put sex on hold, we can pursue our purpose, dreams, and the life goals fully. Also to protect us from soul ties, STIs, not forgetting unwanted pregnancies. Most importantly, because our bodies are a temple of God. And she says, from one, from another perspective, I think we as a community, especially the Black community, are not taking teenage sex and pregnancy seriously. Ungazuthi izindlebe zethu zibuthundu. Regarding this topic, meaning that we can't hear anything about it. Our ears are shut to it. We are failing our kids. We leave parental responsibilities in the hands of teachers, peers, the government, social media, etc. And she says, with that said, I do not think the implants are a solution. As a nation, we need to re-educate and have deep conversations with our teenagers about sex and self-control. And she says, I'm going to stop here for now. So, Ma, parents are speaking And I'm excited to have the parents starting to talk about this as well. But when one thinks about this, Ma, and thank you so much for doing this interview with us. So as the government and the MEC have threatened schoolgirls with this kind of an autonomy with compulsory implants, what exactly would this say to our children? Wouldn't we be encouraging them to continue engaging in sexual activities?
Yeah, I think for the sake and benefit of people who haven't actually been following this conversation, let me start by just setting a foundation in terms of what has happened, what the controversy is about, and what the government thinks they're doing. And then I will proceed to refute what the government is doing, because we actually warned them. We warned them a few years ago. I did a carte blanche program warning them that the teenage pregnancies were going to escalate because of what government did. And I'll talk about that. So now they're trying to fix the problem that they actually put in place. So, yes, it was just a couple of days ago, the Gauteng Health and Wellness MEC, like you said, Nomantu Nkomo Ralehuko. Yes, she made an announcement to say that they intend, as a government, to make contraceptive Implanon is the contraceptive that they're actually recommending. And there's a reason why I'm mentioning the name, because at the end, I would like us to discuss the negative consequences and implications that can arise as a result of using Implanon, which nobody's talking about. I'm going to talk about them because there are implications that are associated with its usage. So she announced that they wanted to make this contraceptive, Implanon specifically was the one she recommended, compulsory for students. And she put a kind of an exception to that. She said that would only be done with parental. The consent mm-hmm. of the parents, mm-hmm. with the consent, with parental consent. So this is what I'd like to say about it. First of all, I'd like to say that the government's suggestion or recommendation or what they want to implement, first of all, it's not only misguided, it's unlawful. And I'll tell you why. Mm. The conversation we've had has been a conversation on teenage pregnancy. And in the first instance, I want to say everybody is concerned about it. Everybody. And we have a reason to be concerned about it. What we must be very careful of is how we respond to the teenage pregnancy. Mm. Because the fact that the MEC now wants to use Implanon is as a result to what they responded previously by implementing comprehensive sexuality education. We warned them that your rollout of comprehensive sexuality education, which includes teaching children on how to have sex and different types of sex, and to explore their sexuality, we warned them that it was going to result in increased teenage pregnancy. And it was interesting that they claimed and said that this was going to reduce teenage pregnancy. Guess what? Mm. It has not reduced. It has increased, which is why they're now trying to bring second solution, because solution number one, which was CSE, has not worked. Mm. And I remember doing a carte blanche program about 4 years ago when I was on carte blanche, and I in fact I'll send you the link, and one of the things I said is that rolling out CSE is going to increase the teenage pregnancies. It's not going to stop them, as the government alleged. And I said, why? Because you're teaching children how to have sex. You cannot teach children how to have sex and say it's going to decrease teenage pregnancy and HIV AIDS. And that's exactly what it's done. That's exactly so. What we warned the government of, do not roll it out because it's going to increase teenage pregnancy, has come to pass, unfortunately. It has come to pass.
If we're looking at it from that angle, is it just the sexuality education? Or remember when, before sexuality education was introduced fully, and I remember when you were lobbying against it, but before it came into pass fully, there were condoms that were given to our children at schools. Didn't it start from there, the escalation?
Yeah, but Yes, but condoms is part of CSE. It's part of the CSE program. It's distribution of condoms. It's a whole program. CSE essentially is, it teaches children to embrace their sexuality. It promotes early sexualization of children, and it does that through distribution of condoms. It does that through encouraging them to try different sexual practices. It does that by encouraging them to choose what gender they want to be. All of that, it's part of one program. It's CSE. It's still all part of CSE.
So the aspect of
distribution of condoms is part of CSE.
Yeah, so, but what I was saying is, so it means that the entrance then, I'm going to rephrase what I said. So the entrance then of CSE started way back then when they started introducing the condoms into schools. Okay, all right.
Yeah, I'm just saying the whole program, the holistic program of bringing CSE, there are different streams of bringing it in through condom usage, through all of that, because we all know that condoms, in any case, are not fail-proof. How many people have gotten pregnant with condoms?
Sure, many.
Yeah, so it's not a fail-proof method. And one of my problems with government is that they have never really focused on introducing abstention, which is the fail-proof way, you know? If you abstain from having sex, then you will not get pregnant. So they've never focused on that, but they focused on methods on how to have sex, and they've actually been shown to fail. But I just wanted to point that out, first of all, because in the program, when I said that it's going to increase pregnancy, not decrease them, there were two other people representing government who said that, no, it was going to decrease, and statistics will show that it's decreasing. So I wanted to make that point to say that it has not increased. In fact, it has increased. CSE has increased. And now government is faced with trying to bring another worse solution to stop the increase of teenage pregnancy, because they brought in a program that is not working and, in fact, is showing the opposite. It's still increasing. We talked about the statistics, 2022-23 statistics, around 150,000 pregnancies in that year. So I now want to talk about the illegality of it.
Right.
The illegality of it. Mm-hmm. Now, our Constitution, as we know, is our highest piece of legislation. It is a supreme legislation that sets out our rights. It also sets out our obligation. Any law that is operating in South Africa that is contrary or in conflict with the Constitution must bow down to the Constitution, because it is our supreme law.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Constitution is a section called the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights. This is the cornerstone of democracy in South Africa. What does it do? It sets out all the rights of South African citizens, and it affirms their democratic rights, their values of human dignity, of equality, and freedom. What is contained in the Bill of Rights, the state has to respect. It's not an option for them to say, we may consider. They have to respect it. They have to protect what is in the Bill of Rights. They have to promote what is in the Bill of Rights. And they have to fulfill what is in the Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that because I want to now point to a provision in the Bill of Rights that I'm saying the state is obliged to respect, promote, and fulfill it.
Yeah.
In the Bill of Rights, you have also, in fact, specifically in Section 12(2) of the Constitution. This is what the section reads. It says, every person has the right to bodily and psychological integrity, which includes the right to make decisions concerning reproduction, the right to have security and control over their body, and the right not to be subjected to medical or scientific experiments without their informed consent.
Which is the opposite where children are concerned.
Exactly, exactly. So this is the section that that protects everybody's right to physical, biological, and even psychological integrity. This was the section we used a lot, Bongi, during COVID, when people were being forcefully vaccinated without being able to consent or not to consent. We said, but you are in violation of Section 12 too. Mm. Because forcing people to say you cannot come to work unless you're vaccinated, it is violation of this section.
Mm.
And now we now realize that, in fact, people were being forcefully vaccinated against their consent, and some of them have now been are suffering medical vaccine injury.
Mm. Mm.
And pharmaceutical companies have admitted to that in court. So what we were saying was not a conspiracy. We said you have a right to refuse. And the state tried to force people. That's why there must be class actions. People must sue because they were forced to vaccinate and that was in violation of this section. So if you want to sue, use this section to sue because you were forced to, you were not allowed to go on work premises. You must sue your employers. And you must sue anybody who forced you to be forcefully vaccinated against your wishes because Section 12(2) was violated. So we are saying again, it's the same section that is violating. If anybody says we're going to forcefully put in an implant in you, they're still in violation of this same section, which is a constitutional provision, which I've tried to explain that the Constitution is the highest form of law. It's the supreme law. So you cannot violate this law. It really, if anybody forcefully puts an implant in you to prevent, for whatever reason, to prevent conception, etc., it really constitutes an assault and violence against your person.
Sure.
An assault and violence against your person. And we know as Africans, that Africa has a history of people unlawfully experimenting on Africans, using vaccinations, unlawfully experimenting on them through forced sterilization.
Mm.
Many of the pharmaceutical companies,
sure.
when they can't do what they want to do in some of the Western and European countries,
so
they come and do their unlawful experimentations on vaccine. In fact, I wrote an article 4 or 5 years ago, which included a conversation between two French doctors who were recommending that the COVID vaccine be experimented on Africans, and they had to apologize for that. So that is a fact. It's something that we know. And the government, therefore, must not perpetuate this unlawful experimentation on Africans.
On our teenagers.
Unlawful forced sterilization on Africans. They should be protecting the rights of citizens instead of further actually endangering them. So, yeah. I also wanted to talk about
the health implications.
Because nobody has spoken about that. You know, I heard what one of your viewers said in terms of protecting of children. First of all, I want to respond to that assertion that it's protecting children from rape. It is not protecting children from rape. This thing does not prevent rape. You can still get raped. The only thing...
Not protecting, ma'am.
No.
She was more concerned that it will encourage the others to now rape because they know there will no child will be there because these children are... So she's concerned that it's going to encourage rape on our girls.
It can encourage rape. It can encourage rape. It's not protecting the children in any form. It's rather actually endangering them in that instance. And I like what your other viewer said, which was completely correct, is that you can never look for solutions outside of the Bible. And unfortunately, the government has been trying to look for solutions to HIV/AIDS, to prevent HIV/AIDS and pregnancies outside of the Bible. And that's why the problem is getting worse and not better, because they're looking for solutions outside of the Bible.
Before mom,
so we have to go back.
Before mom goes to talk, we have to go back to the Bible, back to the basics. Yes, I agree. So before mom talks about the health implications, if children will be inserted with this, and then I'll come. We will come to your messages. I see family members writing in as well, so we need to come to your messages as well. But I want to know who failed the children? Is it the can we totally blame government, can we also say we all failed
parents,
our children?
Parents, we all failed. We had this conversation, I think, in our last radio discussion on teenage pregnancy. And one of the things I raised, Abongi, was to say that we now have a new program called Family Sexuality Education. And we developed that three-day teaching program for parents to empower their children and the church to teach their children on sexuality in a biblical way, in a way in which they will not get pregnant or get HIV/AIDS, in a way that supports the Bible. So we did that program. Why? So that we can help parents, because some parents do not know how to have that conversation with their children. They're giving them, telling them stories about how you buy, or rakangwana, you buy babies at the hospital, which is
or,
false.
Or
so
a child is brought by a fly, a plane.
A stork brought the baby. So that is a lie. And when you tell children lies, they are going to indulge in sex, not knowing the dangers and the implications and the negative consequences of having sex. So this program that we developed, Family Sexuality Education, now gives you the power to teach. And in fact, we can teach you how to teach your children. The churches, we go to churches now. We're empowering and training people in churches. You have to do that. So, and as I said in the previous program, Proverbs 22:6 was not written for teachers, where it says teach and train a child.
It was written for parents.
When they're old, it was written for parents. So parents must also accept their portion of blame for not teaching, empowering our children about the dangers of, you know, indulging in sex, the consequences, and teaching them what the Bible says around sex and how to have sex as part of the marriage covenant. We must take our portion of the blame. Government must take its portion of the blame for teaching children to have sex outside of biblical and moral parameters. Now, remember that it's government that started a program called Moral Regeneration Movement. I don't know if you remember that.
I remember
that. It was started by Tata Madiba Mandela. He started it. He invited the faith leaders to say, you must be a part of resolving issues in South Africa, and we must go back to morality. So, South Africa, the question is, how are we going back to morality by implementing comprehensive sexuality education and encouraging our children to have sex and putting implants in their bodies,
which will endanger
their health?
You know, for me, when I read that, it was as if it's as if when you pour petrol, have you seen when you pour petrol in
fire.
In a
fire?
Yeah. Please. So yeah. So I was wondering what are we saying to our children? So are we saying run and do willy nilly, or
we're licensing them? We are giving them authority.
Okay.
We are saying have sex
and
you won't get pregnant.
Here's a question from one of the parents. How do we access that program that Mama is talking about?
Well, I have said, you know, the previous time I said, please feel free to inbox me on my Facebook page. I have said we are happy to partner with Radio Pulpit to give you our email, the email address where you can ask for the details of this. We do workshops, three-day workshops. We do them online. So we train online. You don't have to be in Gauteng. We can come to your church if you want to invite us to do the training. We can do you as groups. You can invite a cell group, and we can train you as cell groups. So we are available, and we can just share with you. We have an online brochure that discusses some of the training. We don't just train you on biological implications. It includes teaching your children how to avoid cyberbullying, you know, not to become a bully, not to also how do you escape bullying. It includes teaching them on their identity, how to grow strong in their identity. So it's a comprehensive teaching that will empower
the
them.
The identity which is hidden in Christ. The identity which is in who. Okay.
Empower them holistically. Yeah.
Setuha writes and says, our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. He is able to control and take care of it. When we speak about abstinence, we are told we are discriminating and is hate speech. We are told we are condemning teenagers and forcing our beliefs on people. Birth control for teenagers? Why? Why families are, which families are they planning? Yeah, so birth controls on teenagers, why? Which family are they planning? And then she says, let me finish it, Mama, just now. And she says, teenagers can do, okay, I'm not going to talk about that because we are not addressing that. But the rights that our teenagers have without the consent of parents, you know it, Mom. I'm not going to mention the word because I'm not allowed to talk about that right now. This agenda is wrong and we won't keep quiet. MMC skills development is needed in schools, infrastructure to be improved, not this agenda. Sure. Yeah. Okay, let me quickly read another one whilst Mama is taking a break a little bit. Swangile, this is another one.
I thought you were still reading.
Let me read.
Just waiting for you to
let
finish.
Me quickly read the other one quickly. Swangile, the government of the day failed our children for being children. God granted parents the right to teach their children in the early stage of his law. The government of the day were not mentioned. As long as parents' rights are violated to their children, it's going to get worse. Okay, this is Pastor Masango. Yes, ma, I'm going to be silent for now.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, we've been talking about this for the last 15 years, and we've been warning about hate speech. We've been warning about the Papuda Bill. We've been talking to the church for the last 15, 20 years to say the state wants to take over control of your children. From the time, remember, I don't know if you know as far back as this was more than 10 years ago, when the state passed a law to say children are no longer able to spank their children.
I spoke to you on air about it. I remember.
Yes, and you remember.
It was just you and yes. Who? You were just one and somebody else. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. And we warned. And one of the things we said is that the state wants to take over raising your children. And if you are not careful, parents, you will have no rights over your children. That was 10, 15 years ago we spoke about that. To say this is what they want to do. So now because you cannot discipline your children, how are you going to control your children? You know? So now do you see where it's going? Now they want to forcefully put in implants in your children. So now they're teaching your children how to have sex and all of these things. And we warned about this 15 years ago. So it's now that the Christian community, unfortunately, is waking up to it when they've allowed these laws to be passed, because laws cannot be passed without our intervention. And every time we ask the Christian community to make submissions against, they are silent, they are quiet. We have 65 million Christians in South Africa, of which it is alleged, which is probably not true, that over 80% are Christians. So if we were responding, we should be at least 50 million Christians responding. The most submissions we've ever had, Bongi, to an issue, which was the hate speech bill, where we worked very hard to mobilize people, was over 120,000 submissions. It's not even 0.00001% of total population in a nation that is supposed to be predominantly Christian. So that's why I'm saying, as Christians, we have allowed it because we didn't make submissions. So we've allowed and given government autonomy and authority to rule our children. And now that the laws are passed, it's very difficult to undo them. So, you know, it's easy to criticize government. It's easy. But if you don't get involved in opposing these submissions, this is what happens. We are the primary people to be blamed because we've not only abdicated on our responsibility to teach our children, we've not submitted submissions against these evil policies and laws. And now we are suffering for them and we have no control because we've allowed them to happen.
Sure.
So, yeah, I want to talk quickly about
the health.
Nobody's talking about this, the health issues.
Mm.
So I don't know if people are aware how this implant works. It's a flexible plastic rod that it's a small size. It's the size of about a matchstick.
Mm-hmm.
And it is placed under the skin of the upper arm of a child. So they have to pierce your skin and place this implant in under your skin.
Mm.
And what happens then is that the implant now releases over a period of time a steady dose of progestin, mm-hmm. which is a hormone, which mm-hmm. is a hormone. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying this deliberately to explain what happens. So that means that there is an infuse of a hormone into your body. Mm-hmm. So that's the number one side effect into your body mm-hmm. is that a hormonal change. Mm-hmm. You can now you're going to experience a hormonal change, and especially in young people who remember some of
who
these
are growing
are young and, as well. Mm-hmm. Yes. Their hormonal system is not even completely balanced and finished. Mm-hmm. And you are already introducing and inducing hormonal changes into these children. Mm-hmm. So this can result in very bad and even deadly side effects, mm-hmm. especially in children. These are some of the side effects that are known. I've researched these that are known. Mm-hmm. You can have allergic reactions. Mm-hmm. So you can develop rashes. You can develop hives. You can develop itching, blistered, peeling skin, fever, tightness in the chest or throat. You can develop trouble breathing, swallowing or talking, swelling of the mouth, swelling of the face, swelling of lips, tongue or throat swelling. Mm. These are all symptoms, they say, of signs of an allergic reaction that you can get as a result of this implant. That's allergic reaction only. Then another side effect that you can get through this implant, they say, is that you can also get side effects of liver problems, And how you will know that you may be having liver problems through dark urine, through feeling tired, through loss of appetite, not feeling hungry, through upset stomach or stomach pain, light-colored stools, through throwing up, or if you have yellow skin or eyes, that is also possible signs of liver problems, which can come through this implant.
Sure.
Third implication that can come are high blood pressure, signs of high blood pressure. So these implants can also elevate your blood pressure, and it will come through the form of a very bad headache. You can have very bad headache. You can feel dizzy. You can pass out, or also eyesight changes. So those are also possible side effects, adverse implications of this implant. Then number five, adverse results is signs of gallbladder problems. So you can experience pain in the upper right part of your belly, in your right shoulder area, between your shoulder blades. You can develop fever with chills. You can develop bloating. You can have upset stomach or start to vomit. You can have yellow skin or eyes. Those are all signs of gallbladder problems, which may result as a result of having the implant. Then they also say, number six sign, you can develop signs of skin infection, like oozing, swelling, redness, and pain. Of course, this is obvious because they're what? They're piercing under your skin to put something. Those are possible side effects. Another side effect as a result of having the implant is you can develop weakness on one side of your body. You can develop trouble speaking or thinking. You can have a change in balance. You can have drooping on one side of your face or blurred eyesight. Another side effect of this implant is you can develop depression or other mood changes. Remember, this is a hormonal implant. So it affects your hormones. So, and we know already, Bongi, that suicide and depression is a problem
amongst this generation.
It has escalated. Do we want to further escalate it through introducing this implant, which is said that it can contribute to depression and mood changes? Another possible side effect is eyesight changes or loss of eyesight. You can have bulging eyes. And so those are also possible side effects as a result of the implant. And then another one, because remember, again, it's hormonal, bringing in hormonal changes. So it can introduce lumps into your breasts, breast pain, soreness, and nipple discharges because it's introducing a hormone into your body. Then it can also bring in flu-like signs, it says, and it can also bring in vaginal bleeding that is not normal. That is not normal. Yeah. I mean, and that means, in other words, outside of the normal menstrual, monthly menstrual issues. Mm. And then the last one, because it's hormonal again, is that the drug may cause you to swell or retain fluid in your body and cause weight gain and swelling and even trouble breathing. So sure. I wanted to say that these are the things they don't tell you about, they don't speak about.
And also, Ma, I was waiting. I'm listening attentively, counting with you. Because you did mention that it's hormonal changes and all that. Yes. So I was counting with you and I'm like, yes, these years. But there's one that they are not mentioning, the long-term effects of this.
Yes.
Because
in
the coming future, you might find there is infertility as a result of this. But nobody's saying anything about that.
Absolutely. And all the side effects I've mentioned are both short-term and long-term. They could be immediate. They could be long-term. They could result in barrenness, infertility, as you say. And also just, you know, the depression aspects of it, all of those things.
Mm.
Very, very serious side effects, which nobody is mentioning, you know, to date. And so by pushing this Implanon narrative and trying to forcefully put it on our children, instead of preaching things like abstention and, you know, having sex within purity, holiness, having righteousness, having sex within the confines of marriage, all of that, which if you were a government that was serious about going back to moral regeneration, it's government who introduced that program, not us. It's government who said we want to go back to our morality. Ubuntu. If you explore our African traditions, Bongi.
They're not promoting such kind.
They don't promote sex. Yeah. You know, the Zulu culture, all these cultures.
In fact, the cultures celebrate abstinence until marriage. Yes.
Yes. They celebrate virginity. They celebrate abstention. I remember before the late Honorable King Zwelithini, before his transitioning, we had that conversation because he wanted to introduce our family sexuality education program to the people of his kingdom. He said, I love this program because it's not CSE, which is contrary to our tradition, but it's promoting virginity and holiness, which is part of what we want to preach.
Yeah.
So that is part of our African Ubuntu culture. It's all of that. So the government cannot talk about Ubuntu on one hand and talk about moral regeneration on one hand and then be doing the opposite of that.
But now, Ma, I see that our time is so almost up.
Yeah.
And we have long questions.
It always goes very fast.
We have long questions that are still there. But I think we can put a coma to it and come back to it next week as well to wrap it up nicely. But do we still have the family within our control as parents? How does all of this affect the family structure? Do we still have control in our families? I mean, like, since you started talking to us earlier on, explaining where it all comes from and getting to where we're at right now, do we still have that?
No, we don't. I mean, that's what I've been trying to say, and that's what we warned of about 15 years ago, to say this is where it's heading, that you will not have control over your children. Right now, a 12-year-old child, girl child, can go and abort without having the consent of her parents. Does that signify control? No, we don't have control. She doesn't need to ask you for permission to abort a child. So that clearly tells us we don't have control. And another thing I wanted to say also, Bongi, about this program is it's focusing all on the female, the feminine child. Why are we not introducing programs to teach our male children not abstention? Because that child, female child, does not get pregnant by herself. So she's the one now who has to endure a violent assault against her body. She's the one who has to endure all these hormonal changes and possible side effects. But what is being done on the side of males?
Sure.
Who is teaching them to abstain and not, you know, have sex with these young? Who's teaching them to be responsible, dignified young men who will protect young ladies and not endanger them by having sex with them outside of the covenant of marriage? Why aren't we focusing on that? It's everything. It is the woman's, female's responsibility, and her life and her health is being threatened on this. So it's very discriminatory.
Sure. A family member wants to strangle me. Some are saying how so fast. Some are saying so soon. Are we done? Is it time up already? If Ma didn't have other engagements, we would continue with her. But she will be back, I promise. She will. We'll make sure that we come up and wrap up nicely. Prue says, "Shalom, my queen and Dr. Kupe. Churches must be taught and well informed by the legal fraternity. We have legal experts at our churches. Why are they quiet?"
We do. No, we're not quiet, please. We've been teaching this. I've actually been condemned.
Are you not the only one who's not quiet?
I have been condemned over the past 15 years. People used to write to me on social media, Reverend Kupe, why aren't you like other pastors who are preaching the gospel on Saturdays and you're always doi-doiing, you're doing marches and petitions and talking about law? So I've been condemned actually for teaching about it, and I've been teaching about it for more than 15 years. I was joined, you know, 4SA, Freedom of South Africa, which I sit on the board. They, in the last 10 years, they're celebrating 10 years now. They've been talking about it frequently. I've been talking about it many years. Errol Naidu on Family Policy Institute has been talking about it equally as long, 15, 20 years. We've been addressing it. The question is, do churches listen? Do churches invite us? We have told you that we are available. I talk about it on your other radio pulpit program with Dwayne Van Rensburg. Every month we do Kingdom Legislation Program. We've been doing that program for 5 years now. We talk about it, but you don't listen. So I want to absolve the lawyers from this. To say that there are few of us lawyers who have been faithful to talk about it. But as we can see from the submissions that are made, like I said, 120,000 submissions made by the church out of 65 million people. So already it tells you.
Which is very sad, disappointing.
It tells you that people are not listening. So we are talking all the time.
Yeah, and I remember that it was on air. I know you spoke to Obut Dwayne, you spoke to me. But still,
nothing.
They were in Dabas. Call, come, let's gather. You had all of that.
Yes. But I had Zoom meetings, training meetings. We'd have 500 people.
But we still
on
continue.
Zoom.
I love the fact that you still continue even now.
We have to.
You sound alarm because you're a watchman.
I have to. I'm a watchman, and at the end of the day, I'm going to be accountable to God. He's going to ask me with your legal training. How did you serve the community and the body of Christ apostolically, prophetically, and how did you man the justice gate? So I don't want to have to tell him, I got tired. Your people were stubborn. They didn't listen.
But
Ezekiel, I want to be able to say I fulfilled my part. Talk to your people.
I know time is not on our side, but I know, and then I think even next week, because we have committed that we'll be back next week. But in closure today, I just have a minute. What do we say to the parents? How do we protect the girl child against all of these? Before you answer me, I'm not quite sure if it's Val who says, afternoon, my dear Swangile, we need Dr. Pearl to speak to the minister, please, and all involved, please. She is. But it's a continue. It's something that she has been doing and she continues to do. So, Ma, okay, I have a minute. How do we protect the girl child in just 1 minute? And then again, just to let us know where we can find the teachings and or how do we communicate. I know on Facebook you are Pearl Khomotso Kupe, and that's where people can inbox you if they need you to be at their churches. Yeah. You can even give the emails on where they can get that. So enclosure, Ma?
Yeah. So, no, some of the things I've mentioned, our program, Family Sexuality Education, very empowering. It teaches you how to be able to talk to your children, because education is one of the ways in which we need to fight back and confront this. If our children don't have education, they're going to go to the internet, to social media, and they're going to go to wrong places to get their education. So it starts from home. We must educate them. We can help you do that. Contact me on Facebook. Please like my page. Like my page and stay in touch, because it'll give you notifications So go on to Pearl Komoso Kupe, like my page, let's engage, because I always put the latest legislation out there, the warnings, etc., and we can engage on that, and I can give you all the information you need about our training. And let's do this together, Body of Christ. It's going to, teamwork makes the dream work, you know? Mm-hmm. Teamwork makes the dream work. It's not going to be one person. It's not going to be Pearl Kupe. It's not going to be Errol Naidu. It's not going to be, you know, governmental. Mm-hmm. It's going to take all of it. It takes a village to raise up a child properly. So mm-hmm. let the village of South Africa rise up, and let's teach, train, equip, activate our children to be polished arrows that can stand at the gate and contend with the enemy and not be taken out by alcohol, drug addiction, and sexual promiscuity.
Wow, Ma, we love you so much. Love you so
love
much.
Love you more.
Let's talk again next week. Let's wrap it up nicely and even have time for prayer where we can pray for Amen. The families. May
yes.
God awesomely keep keeping you. We love you, Ma. Bye-bye.
I'd love to do that. Bye-bye.
Family, that's all the time that we have for today with Mama Pearl Kupe. And do like her page on Facebook. She is Pearl Khomotso Kupe on Facebook. And let's engage. Let's protect our children, not only the girl child, but also let's protect the boy child.
In today's rush world, there is limited time for yourself. Your cell phone, however, is with you all the time. So why not use it? Visit our Radio Pulpit website with your cell phone and restore your soul. There you can find out more about Radio Pulpit, download the Bible to your cell phone, read Word for Today, and you can listen to us online. Just visit www.radiopulpit.co.za, especially developed for your cell phone. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
Download our app now and listen to us wherever you go. Available in the App Store and Play Store.
You're at 657 AM. Radio carrying 24 hours a day.